We're talking today with Michael Kelsey, the Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, several things happening right now, very much of interest to the OCA folks. And we might start with state issues.
Yes.
You're spending time at the state capitol, as a lot of our agricultural groups are right now. And some things are happening that that we need to be paying a lot of attention to. I know that, you'd worked hard early up to the start of the session on some cattle theft legislation. Where do we stand on that issue?
Yeah, it's where we're at, and let me say this, and then I'll explain a bit, but where we're at is we need to take a little bit of a time out. We've got some great friends, Representative Murdoch, Representative Biggs, Senator Field, Senator Justice, a lot of others. I'm missing someone, and I hate to start naming names because I always miss someone, but we've got a lot of great friends who've done some great work for us on this. We're at a point in the legislature where it's just getting messy and muddy, if you will. The budget process is coming up. It's getting hot and heavy on that. A lot of complex issues that senators and representatives are having to work on. That makes it difficult for you to resonate your message very positively. So while we've got some great momentum, we're kind of at a point where if we press forward because of all of the messages that are being said, we might risk an opportunity to not advance. Sometimes it's just best to say, okay, we're going to take a time out. Kind of gather ourselves up and build on the momentum we have next year. And that's the positive part about basically a two-session or a two-part session. We're in the first part of this session. Next year, we have an opportunity to go forward as well. And so
you don't have to start over.
Exactly. We don't have to start over. We can start right where we're at and keep moving forward. I know that feels like I'd lost. I didn't get done what I wanted to do. And to a degree, there's some reality to that. Everybody wants to get your bill through and away we go. But at the same time, you've got to understand there's 2,000 bills that were introduced at the beginning of the session, and a lot of different ideas, and we had some freshman representatives and senators that have come in. They need to get their place established, if you will. There's a lot of dynamics going on. You've got to be patient in this business. You've just got to be patient. And so that's what we're doing right now. We're going to be patient. We've got a lot of good friends. We look forward to moving this bill forward. Now, the other thing, too, to consider is during the interim, we may discover something that'll help us and push us forward in that sense. I don't know what that may be, but you always keep your eyes open and your mind open and move forward. You know, I equate a lot of these things to working cattle. I mean, because obviously as a cattleman, you go out to work the cattle and sometimes things just aren't right and you need to say, you know what, let's just take a break. Rather than run them and risk running through the fence and blowing up and overheating and all that, sometimes it's just time to say, you know what, let's just go to the house, take a nap, eat some dinner. We'll come back next tomorrow when the cattle have settled down and try it again, and we'll be successful at that time.
Let's talk about, you know, one of the other big issues for ag in the state of Oklahoma this year, and that is HJR 1012, the so-called Right to Farm Amendment.
You bet. Right to Farm. This is a really important one. Our policy is very clear on this. We're very supportive. Our members have said we want to do this, put this in the Constitution. The concept is that, Ron, you and I are going to be gone and someday, and who knows what's going to be going on at that time regarding the legislative forces, dollar bills that may be at play, even technology to spread messages to dupe consumers. And the reason I say that and use those very harsh terms is that's what we're seeing right now by our enemies, by our foes, the animal rights folks, HSUS, and so forth. They're out playing commercials, trying to dupe the consumer into saying that this is something that it's not. What this does is simply just preserve the right to farm and ranch in the state of Oklahoma, very similar to what we did with hunting and fishing a couple of handful of years ago. Puts the onus on the state to say the state needs a compelling interest to adopt something that would restrict farming and ranching. So, for instance, there's a very active movement in the animal rights industry to say that we shouldn't brand cattle. If they wanted to propel that thought forward in a law manner, then the state would back up and say, okay, time out. Is there a compelling interest by the state to ban branding? We would argue no, there's not. In fact, there's a compelling interest in the state to say that we ought to encourage branding of cattle for various and sundry reasons. I use that only as an example, although it is a very real example. If you look at some of the priorities of some of those adversarial groups to our industry. So that's why we need this. And so we're very positive about this. We love the fact that it's moving forward. It's a unifying effort. The barnyard, as I like to call ourselves in a very joking jovial but also respectful manner is we're pulling together on this. We need to pull together to push forward. We'd love to see this on the ballot in 2016, and we're going to continue to work towards that.
And it's already passed with the House, mm-hmm. passed the Senate Rules Committee in just the last few hours, in fact. Mm-hmm. And we've got kind of a deadline on a Senate vote for this year.
That's correct. April 23rd is the deadline for the Senate vote this year. If we don't get anything done before then on this bill on the Senate floor, then again, similar to the cattle theft issue we were talking about, it will just sit there until next year. It doesn't die. It just sits there. We'd like to see it move forward at this point in time. So we'd like to see the Senate take it up. Now, because of the rules within the Senate and the House regarding bills and when they come out of committee and how long they have to wait, and irregardless of the issue, this bill can't come up before the Senate until later next week at the earliest. So it does give us some time to talk to senators, to educate senators, etc. It also gives us an opportunity, though, or I should say kind of in a negative sense, it pushes that deadline pretty close. April 23rd isn't very far after the end of next week. And so here we are, springtime, straw hat weather, and we got to do some work and pretty quick. So we do have some timelines on us. We do have some opportunity to educate and work with senators. We've got some positive momentum. We need to continue to build on that.
Federal issues. Mm-hmm. I know that we're seeing a lot of movement right now, much like what we were doing when we were talking EPA and Waters of the U.S., a lot of movement on the so-called nutrition bill or the nutrition dietary guidelines issue.
Yeah, the comment period for the dietary guidelines ends May 8th. And this is the old food guide pyramid. I know a lot of us are familiar with that food guide pyramid, if you will. 1980 is when the federal government started issuing recommendations for what Americans should consume in order to have a healthy diet or a healthy lifestyle. There's been a lot of gyrations to that over the years because of science indicating so forth. The science, we believe, is very clear that red meat is a very solid part of a healthy diet. Unfortunately, the advisory group for this year's recommendations threw that science out and took opinion and really politics and recommended that there should be no red meat or processed meats, for that matter, in your diet whatsoever. All your protein should come from plant-based products. Again, this goes directly against popular science. And what I mean by popular is well-produced, well-researched, peer-reviewed science. And so what we're calling on the Department of Agriculture and HHS, who has the Health and Human Services, who has the ultimate authority to issue these, mm-hmm. is to reject the committee's proposal and go back to the science. And that's what we need folks to do. There's a comment period, so we're encouraging our members, write into those and put in comments. You don't need to write an epistle or a long process, just a few comments that say, hey, I know what the science says. The science says red meat, beef, pork, that's a good part, chicken even. Boy, you never hear a cattleman say that, but in this case, mm-hmm. it's true. Science says meat is a good part of a healthy diet, and so that's what we need to say. I'm positive we're going to be successful on this, but we need to be vigilant. We have to establish that case, and we need comments going in so we can move forward in a positive manner.
The spring meeting, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, just a couple of weeks ago wrapped up. Beyond dietary guidelines, what were some of the things that the cattle producers were really kind of dealing with as far as regulation and or legislation?
You bet. A big one for all of beef was TPA, Trade Promotion Authority. Trade is so important to us. And now the interesting thing about TPA is that's what gives the administration the authority to negotiate trade deals and then bring back those whole deals to Congress for an up or down vote, rather than have 535 negotiators, the House and the Senate all together. You have one negotiator. It's basically what TPA does. Unfortunately, there's the politics in that. Obviously, Congress doesn't like the president. The president doesn't like Congress and so forth. And so you get all that muddiness in this. Our position is this. TPA extends beyond the current administrator, beyond the current White House. TPA is a good thing to promote trade universally. Mm-hmm. So we need TPA to go through so that not only this administrator, but probably more importantly, because trade agreements take so long to develop, the next administration will have an opportunity to do something positive. We don't eat liver in my household. We need to send liver to areas where it is profitable for us to do so, because if it depends on me, it's not going to be worth much at all. Tongue, those types of things. That's why trade's so important. So TPA is a big big deal. Another issue that we worked on was the tax code, Section 179. Boy, we by the skin of our teeth last year, we barely got that done. We need to see some more permanency on that so producers in rural America, rural Oklahoma can make better decisions in terms of timing. They'll have more opportunity to make those decisions rather than quickly at the end of the year. So those are some of the other things. I should mention one thing that was specific to Oklahoma that we brought was the Chisholm Trail and the Great Western Trail, and the National Park Service wanting to designate it as a National Historic Trail. At this point in time, we're very resistant to that because the language in that designation is way too vague. It allows too much, or what we perceive too much opportunity for some of these alphabet soup agencies, EPA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and so forth, to come in and establish regulations and guidelines based upon that designation. My good friend Terry Dietrich over at AFR says it best, I think. We're not in the habit of writing the government a blank check. And in that sense, this is what we feel like we're doing, getting this designation and then allowing these agencies to come in and establish what those strategic or compliance plans would be. That's a no-go for us, so we need to see that ahead of time. But that was an issue we carried as well.